Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hey guys.
Hi everybody, how you doing?
How are you doing on this fancy schmancy Tuesday?
Yes, how are you doing? What are you wearing? I want to know.
I know.
What is your week like? How you been doing?
What is what are your plans for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, happy are you Thanksgiving hosting? Week.
Peace be with you. Prayers for you.
Yes, please remember.
Good luck.
My very favorite tip. My dad taught me this. Thanks, Mr. Abel Dabbles. If you're overstimulated or you need a minute, just walk with a purpose to a different room. People assume you know what you're doing and they'll leave you alone.
Well, now that you've just outed him, he will need to find a different thing to do.
Sorry, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Love you.
We love you, Mr. Abel Dabbleson.
And Mom, you taught me how to be around the people too. But
yeah,
that was a great, I was like, you mean I could just do that? I could just walk away?
Or you can do the groundbreaking. Like, you enter a room, right? And you go, oh. And then you turn around and go in a different room. And it's like, yep. Oh, obviously you forgot something.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
You need a minute.
Anyway, you guys.
That one's for you, Mr. Abel Dabbleson.
Get ready for the performance of a lifetime in tricking people into thinking you need something when you just need 5 minutes. It'll be great. It's fun.
Do it.
Also, steer clear of anything stressful at the holidays. I promise y'all, it's not the time or the place people are going to hear the conversation you're trying to have.
No.
So just eat the stuffing, be okay, and call it a day. Actually, don't eat the stuffing if you don't want to, okay? I hate stuffing. I would never make you do that.
Okay, but eat the mashed potatoes.
Oh my God, eat the potatoes. Always eat the potatoes.
Like, no, seriously, eat the potatoes.
You guys, what is your favorite Thanksgiving food? Comment below.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah, say it again.
That's mine.
I
do shots for every time I say mashed potatoes.
Okay, well, I'm already tipsy.
Okay, so you're welcome.
Mashed potatoes, my ass. Just kidding. That was for you. Nah. Now you guys are another one in. I think my favorite is cranberry sauce, but I get such mixed reviews on that.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Like see, that. I can't. Yeah, no. See, but here's the thing. Here's why I'm a great date for you. Mm-hmm. Because if someone were to put cranberry sauce on the table, you know what I'd say? All what? Yours.
Yes, true.
That's so true. For you. So I would give that to you and we wouldn't have to fight for it.
True.
I also, more for unpopular me. Opinion, don't like turkey.
Oh, I don't think that's unpopular. I don't like turkey.
Never really have, but I like all of the sides that go with it. So I'm like, I am going to have a damn good day.
I'm a weird Thanksgiving date because like, I tend to like the basic staples. I like a green bean casserole. I like the jellied cranberry shit you buy for a dollar at the store to say you have it. I like mashed potatoes, veggies, but the turkey doesn't really do it for me. Gravy doesn't really do it for me. Stuffing doesn't really do it. Like the typical what you think of when you think of Thanksgiving, I'm like, eh.
See, I think the casserole thing, that's a Midwest thing, isn't it?
Oh my God, I love green beans. Is that casserole. What it is? I don't know, but it's so good.
See, I feel like we're more like crock pot people out here.
I think you can make it in a crock pot.
But like you guys are like, I have this pan with foil.
Oh my God. The amount of pans with foils. You have no idea. A specific
like coming to your house.
9x13 Pyrex dish.
Coming to a house near you. Really, they're on their way.
Yeah.
So
there is that.
What are your Thanksgiving plans? Let us know. We love you and we want to know. So that's all.
What did your naughty, naughty pod pet do when you weren't looking and you were prepping all the food?
Oh, rut-row.
Rut-row, Raggy. Oh my gosh.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh. Did I tell you the other day I used that unironically and I was like, oh, I actually kind of hate this about myself right now.
No, but I'd like you to keep going.
Someone told me something and they were like, I just found this out. And I was like, ruh-roh, Raggy. I was like, oh no. Because I don't know. How else do you professionally say, oh no?
Maybe it would just, oh no.
No, not I. Nay-nay.
Nay-nay.
But anyway, that was an awful, embarrassing moment. Now you all know it. Hi.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes. What are you thankful for this year?
Oh, where do I start? This has been a year.
Yes, it has.
For me personally, this has been a year of very high highs and very low lows.
It's been a big year.
So there's just been a lot of movement. I'd take boring for a little bit now,
hell
honestly.
Yeah.
But as always, just family and friends. The friends that are family are just family to me. Yeah. At this point, so just family.
love that.
I have great parents. I have a great husband. I have fantastic in-laws, which is
so true.
I'm very lucky. Like I, you know, go down that Reddit rabbit hole of just know mother-in-law, JNMIL, if you're wondering.
So
and
good.
You can read some horror stories. And I'm like, I didn't have any of that. Don't have any of that. So
bless up.
I'm so very lucky that I have them and I love them and they love me. And my friends are just my family. I mean, Abby's pretty much like my roommate at this point. She pretty much lives at my house. My husband doesn't care.
No.
He's like, oh, good. Take her off my hands.
Yeah, it's nice. We have a good tag team thing going where I'm like, you got the weekend shift? All right.
Yep. Abby's like, I got Tuesday nights. I'm probably good for a Friday night.
Yep. And then the hours that you're at work. And then he gets the hours that you're home.
Yeah, it's like a really good babysitting deal.
We have 50-50 split custody. Thank
it's
you.
It's true. But like amicably.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. We have dinner together all the time. It's just, you know, we're good. We're all good in the hood. So I'm very thankful for just the very amazing people that I have in my life. And of course that applies to you, dear listener.
Have you not heard us say the ATFTC fam?
Duh.
That's you, bitch.
Because we're all family.
Gender neutral and respectfully.
What are you thankful for? You can't copy mine.
Well, that's so rude because we have the same brain cell.
True.
Just kicking between the both of us. Yep. This year, I think I'm very grateful for the people I love and that
you just re-said what I said in a different way.
Well, to piggyback off of you and to hop, skip, and a jump off of what you said, I really liked when you said family. So I'm going to confirm that, but also... I don't know. I feel lucky to live at the time that I do, in the place that I do, where I'm allowed to be who I am outwardly, and that is safe enough and acceptable. And I get to live with someone I love very much and not worry about going to jail for it. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And that I was lucky enough to be somebody who has and has kept a job through this time. That's been awesome because it's a hell of a time to live out here.
Mm.
And I am not discounting any of that. Those are all blessings.
Absolutely. So. My life would so not be the same if I didn't have you.
Same. Oh my God. How dull. How sad.
I know.
How embarrassing.
I'd have so little like rainbows in my life.
I know.
If you weren't in my house every week.
Well, I'm always happy to be here and be queer for you.
Thank you. You're anytime. Queer for me?
Like a little, but don't make
so,
it gay.
So sweet. Capital G.
Yes. Happy. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
And also, you know, you know. But today, though, we are going to get into our last installment of our Teal Swan episode. And then after that, we are going to finish up just some of those questions you guys sent us a few weeks ago. We don't have fast shit, babes. We're going to get to them. So we'll do that at the end of today's episode, too.
We're very excited. Yeah, we're talking about the ones that we got on Instagram. Again, I will do this more because we did have a lot of
fun. It was so fun.
A lot of fun doing it. And I was overwhelmed in a good way with all of the very kind responses we got. So I just wanted to wrap our episode up today with that because I think we're going to end on like a good note and doesn't always feel appropriate to do something like fun and giddy at the end of like some of our really intense.
Yeah, it's
upsetting
true.
Episodes that could feel out of place. And I think it feels very in place here.
Love that.
And we're going to do it on the little theme of being grateful and loving you guys.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, tell me more about Teal Swan because I have been hooked.
You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. You guys ready?
Okay, good.
Okay. Yoo-hoo! Pot's on. Woo-hoo. It is time to get into it. So hi, hello, and welcome back. Thank you. Please literally go listen to the first parts because this is going to make no sense otherwise. To your favorite true crime podcast about time for true crime.
You guys.
That's so cute. You didn't have to do that. But you didn't. I'm not taking it back. Anyway, today we are talking about Teal Swan and the Teal Tribe. This is our last episode on the series and we are going to reveal the private investigator's results on the allegations against Teal and if it's a cult that she is running. Allie and I are also going to roundtable just some of the series that's been bugging us or that we've been chewing on or just thinking about. So we'll get to that, too, because this has been a very, like, fact, event, heavy series, I guess. It's not really a chronological timeline because it's not really a story. It's just, oh my God, this is going on. This is crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of this is ongoing too.
Yes. So we're just going to talk a little bit about that. And again, just because I've done this every other time and I'm not going to stop now, anything in this episode is nothing more than research produced by journalism, documentaries, news articles, op-eds, and other reputable sources, and the opinions of the hosts and how we might interpret that research. This is not in any way a statement meant to demean or malign any individual, group, religion, or spirituality, business, organization, or any element that we speak of in these episodes. And yes, once again, from a little bit culty, anyone or anything. So naturally, this also leads up to our trigger warnings. Today's going to be a little bit better because it's not quite as in the shit of it. We're not talking about explicit memories that have popped up or people that have taken their own lives. I'm sure we'll touch on all of it. But again, like, we've touched on cults, we've touched on rape, we've touched on satanic ritualistic abuse, we've touched on suicidal ideations and attempts and completed people taking their own lives. Like, this is a heavy, heavy series. So if you need to take it in chunks, please do. The ATFDC fam would not be the same without you. And we would be so hated at your family Thanksgiving if you weren't there because of us, because you're like, oh my God, that was so hard. Don't do that. Enjoy your life, babe.
Oh, please.
Enjoy
it.
We'll be here with the shit of it anytime you want.
Of course.
All good. So do you take care of you, because we need you here. And once again, I would love to give you a trigger warning every time those came up, but that would be ideally like every sentence. So just kind of assume going forward, the trigger warning and the allegedly of it all, we are not making any claims of fact, just that you have access to everything I have access to. It all comes from one of those sources linked below. And you, of course, also have access to those resources that are involved in that Google Doc. And you can look at any of the hotlines you need. You will also obviously have access to any of the credible mental health resources that we have for you there. So please be willing to turn to some of those if you need it. But let's hop into it.
Let's do it.
So the first and the last piece that I want to talk about today is Molly Monahan, who is the private investigator that Teal hired.
Oh, Molly.
So I took a few of these clips from the fourth episode of that Deep End documentary. She pops up throughout the whole thing, but really heavily in the last two episodes of it. So I wanted to discuss the findings that she released and also talked about with Teal. I thought it was really interesting because, first of all, like, Molly was a mystery author turned PI, which is such a cool story. Like, I think that's every armchair detective's dream.
Oh my God, can I just get a drink with her?
Right? I want to know. But she did a phenomenal job with this investigation. Like, she did not half-ass it. She really did the whole thing. And then at the end of it, I have so much respect for her because she sat there and looked Teal in the eyes. Well, via Zoom, but in the face, and said, look, this is what I found. I want to give you a chance to answer to it. And so I think that was really cool. And I think it was really stand up for someone who's going to say, I don't think you're going to like all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a comment?
Especially to somebody who does not take criticism well historically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And initially, I had even forgotten that we started this whole thing on the suicide catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
And so Teal had hired her to investigate the claim that she caused suicide and the claim that she was running a cult.
Wow.
So it was a dual investigation, kind of, you know.
And also interesting because I feel like had her results been anything different, like, I don't know what Molly says, but I have a feeling. And it sounds like if she's going to tell her things that she doesn't want to hear, I find it very fascinating that she would say it, because if her answers were anything other than that or anything like, she's doing great, nothing, whatever, I'd be like, well, mm-hmm. Of course you did. You hired her.
Right, exactly.
Like, we know who was signing your checks. Of course you're going to say that it's great. So I find it, I don't know, a relief that it could still be neutral.
Right. I think as neutral as it can be. And I think part of her not really being around actually added to the lack of bias. And maybe not lack as in like it doesn't exist, but not exasperated, because Molly was able to like turn it off and get away from it when she needed to. And I hope that helped play a role in this, because mm-hmm. I think I would need a few minutes looking at all of this to make a call that someone was going to base their future decisions off of, you know?
Right.
So what Molly ended up coming back with was, no, there is no evidence to suggest that Teal caused suicide. But when she was asked about a cult, Molly's answer was maybe. And that is because of some of what we talked about last week with those 10 warning signs of a cult, that not all of them are yes. And not all of them are 100% absolute yes. Some of them are kind of. And that's kind of where you get the kind of answer.
Yes.
And so what it seems like the consensus is between Molly, between previous followers, between all of the things I've seen Jared, her ex-partner, say, is that the outer group of this is really self-help oriented. It does not seem culty. The people that are maybe just YouTube followers or just kind of on the outskirts looking at a video that pops up really aren't the target audience for the cult claims. It's the people that get close and sort of share that proximity with her.
Mm-hmm.
And when Molly brings this up with Teal, she's obviously not happy.
Yeah.
Right? Molly's main arguments for what she said is concerning is about some of the things we talked about last episode, of the difficulty leaving, the isolation from people you care about, creating like an all-encompassing group where outside relationships are discouraged and there's no contradicting or talking back or questioning the leader of the group, those things. But she does talk to Teal, and I feel for Teal because she was not happy, obviously, and I think she handled it pretty well, for, at least from how it was edited. She handled it really well that she got results she didn't like, especially for what you see in other areas when people sort of threaten her. Like, you can tell that she's upset, but she's not like going off or having some sort of tangent about how she's all knowing and so you must be an idiot for thinking this. Like, there's nothing like that. She just answers the questions very directly and, dare I say, very well rehearsed. I don't know that necessarily they were all like spur of the moment what's in her head. She's a very smart woman. I wouldn't doubt that she went over that with an attorney or a lawyer of some kind to figure out what she should say.
Especially since it was recorded.
Exactly. Probably in two different ways, because my guess is they recorded the Zoom call and then it was filmed while they had it.
Right, because this was all throughout the documentary happening, right?
Right.
So like the documentary is being filmed. And during this, Teal's like, let me hire a private investigator to investigate
this.
The claims that I have done these things. And then they sit for that final discussion and it's all recorded anyway.
Yeah. So my guess is that was prepped a little bit, if not rehearsed. But obviously, I think it worked out well for her. I think she did a great job of trying to advocate for herself in the face of news she didn't want. And I appreciate that Molly was able to make those separate distinctions of like, no, people who are interested in getting better aren't inherently in a cult because they like your videos. But the people that you're saying can't go home, can't visit their family, can't travel for personal reasons, and they're subscribing to this because they're afraid to question you, that's a little culty.
I mean, if it
allegedly
walks like a cult, talks
Whacks like a cult.
Yeah, that.
But I will say, Teal does deny absolutely everything, as you'd imagine. You know what I mean? It came back. She's like, no, I don't do that. That's not true. That's not it. And I will say the irony is deep, though, for me, because in the documentary, it shows Molly gets off the Zoom or whatever. And Teal is kind of like right back to herself. She talks to this guy, Matthias. And I want to say that he is her manager, but he could be like a PR guy, something like that. And she just goes, that is not an acceptable thing I just heard from her. And like goes back to this, you fix this shit. Like, how I'm represented is a really big deal to you. I'm trusting you to do this so I can focus on my work. And then, you know, as she's processing, and I also feel for her because I understand this is an edited documentary. And I'm sure she was just having a moment of like, let me process what I just heard. Let me get this out, figure it out. But it just comes across as so not even two-faced, just like the camera goes off and she's right back to herself, like calculated almost.
Well, and yeah, I think there's like a poised sort of presentation that you have, but like especially after you get a moment to think, you're like, I really didn't like that.
Wait,
I think
fuck this.
We're all allowed to be upset about news we don't agree with, but it's just then what do you do from there?
Right. And I think it's rich that we went from like well, do people feel comfortable questioning you? Do you allow other opinions in there? And she's like, of course I do. I'm not the end all be all. Their experiences. And then it shuts off. She's like, well, that's not acceptable. And to me, and I know it's semantics that I'm picking now, but like, if you're going to say that's not acceptable, that's a tone of authority because you're deeming what's acceptable. So all of that to say, it felt a little calculated and a little funny to me to be like, I'm the authority on this after just having denied your authority in some way.
Yes.
But I also think it's really interesting because also in that moment, you can just see her passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like she really believes in what she's doing. And that's the pro and the con of all of this is like she does not think that she is swindling people or hurting people in any way. And I can even commend the fact that she went as far as to say, hey, can an outside party come and see? Did I cause someone to commit suicide? And do I think it was more of a PR stunt? Sure. But I can also accept that that's a level of accountability she was willing to go through,
mm-hmm.
you know? And in this moment where she's talking to Matthias, I think it's Matthias though, but she's talking to him. She's saying like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Like, am I supposed to say that, no, I want people around me that aren't as invested in this, that I want people whose partners are incredibly incompatible. Like, and I can respect that and I hear it and it's valid to be that passionate about something that you're this involved in. But also that doesn't give you the right to expect other people to throw everything else about their life away to be around you.
For the sole purpose of being in your presence.
Truly. And I understand people are allowed to have boundaries. Those are boundaries that aren't compatible with mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hope that most people would get to a place where they can have these boundaries of like, I love and appreciate you and I respect what you're doing and I want to be around you, but I can't be around you if that means I can't see my family, I can't get another job. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have to live my life and have you in it, or live my life and not have you in it at all. So pick one.
Right.
But I don't think that she's attracting the kind of people that have the mental stability to do that.
Or that have enough else going on.
Right.
That would pull them in a bunch of different directions, because it seems like she's kind of this catch-all for, I'd say she's kind of a catch-all for people who are struggling either with mental health and they're looking for answers that they think that she can provide,
mm-hmm.
or they're struggling with like, what's after this? What's beyond here? How can I expand my mind? How can I learn to be the most in touch and best version of myself that I can be? You know, like a lot of that is very lonely.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people who are willing to put it all on the line to go do that are able to leave things there and go.
Right.
That maybe there isn't that draw to be like, well, you know, I also have 3 kids and this and that. It's like,
yeah,
I don't think that's her target audience.
We're lacking an audience that has a lot of protective factors. There's not a lot of protective factors for these people.
Mm-mm.
And it's interesting because everybody's shit does different things, right? Like we all have baggage. The goal is literally just to find a way to healthily manage it and to find people whose baggage is compatible with yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And Teals, I think, works for a lot of these people because you get to a point where people are helpless. They've got this learned helplessness. They think nothing they do will change things. And then suddenly someone's here very directly saying, I have a change that will help and will work.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it right, obviously. And if you go through it with me, and that doesn't mean you're going to feel good right away. And hell, a lot of times when you're healing, that's true. You have to clean the wound before it can heal without getting infected. But the ideal is not to create more.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that to say, I think it's really interesting because her stuff has made her so authoritative and commanding that people who are looking for an answer are going to seek refuge in someone who's convicted about their answers.
Mm-hmm.
That they're saying, this is the thing. And you're like, oh my God, okay, well, it worked for them. They're this emphatic about it. I should be this emphatic about it.
Yeah, imagine if she weren't confident or she weren't sure.
Truly. And I think it's very interesting how little she seems to be open to outside perspective, because truly, I think if she were open, I would have a better time sleeping at night, but I would have a lot less concerns about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, we talk about in the criminal justice system that we have the act, but we also have the intent for almost every crime.
Mm-hmm.
She's done the act. I don't think she has the intent. And sometimes that doesn't matter. If you kill someone, they're still dead. And she didn't. I'm not saying that. But like, just as examples, sometimes it doesn't matter if you have the intent. And this is one of those that I'm like, it's not no harm, no foul. There's harm being done here. We can't just overlook it because you think you're doing the right thing.
Right.
And if she had been open to outside perspectives, I think she'd have gone a lot further by now. I don't think she understands how she's perceived almost ever. Because she has this, and maybe to the extent of like she knows what gets her more views, but like she gets done with this meeting. She's saying all of these things aren't true. And then they flash to like group work where she's talking to Juliana, who's Blake's wife. And again, if you forget, Blake's the guy that lived with her for 19 years, helped raise her kid while she was in a bunch of other relationships and potentially marriages. And after 19 years of living with her, left to go back to Germany with his wife, who's from there. And Juliana, when she first got there, Teal was very against her. And then she sort of wrapped her up and she was like, okay, no, we love her. And then once again was like, no, never mind. We are adversaries.
Mm.
And so in one of these conversations where she's going back to we are adversaries, it's this whole group setting. Like all of the close circle, the inner circle seems to be there. And she's like, you know what? I woke up angry today and I've been really angry. And you want to know why? Because some people are holding on to personal truths that they're not sharing.
What?
And then she goes through this whole thing of like,
what does that mean?
There are so many reasons you might not want to share a personal truth, but it's your personal truth. And then she's like, Juliana, that's what you're doing. What aren't you telling me?
She was there or she was not there?
No, she was there. This is like a whole group.
In front of everybody.
Yeah. And she's like, I can tell that's what you're doing. Like, what's your personal truth?
Oh,
okay. And it's what's interesting is just the way she demands it. And again, I don't even know that she recognizes it, but the words that came out of her mouth was, Juliana, that's what's happening with you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's some back and forth. She suggests that Juliana is like, yeah, say how you feel real effing quick or whatever they bleeped out. I don't know if it was fuck, but she says, Teal says to Juliana, I can tell you have all sorts of personal opinions about what you think is unhealthy about me, unhealed about me, and all of these things. And then
probably it's right.
Like, you keep insulting me. It's all over your energy field. I suggest you work on that or you look at that or something like that. And I'm like, people can't insult you with their energy field. There's no middle finger aura. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, maybe someone's pissed, but you're personalizing that. You're internalizing that. Like, maybe she just had a fucking bad morning. She woke up and the coffee was burnt. Or you took the last cup even though you've had eight. Like, people are allowed to have their emotions. It doesn't mean it's a personal attack because they're not your biggest fan every day.
It also doesn't mean that, like, Teal's looking at it through such a selfish lens of, like, anything that's going on with you is now negatively impacting me, and now you need to do that. Not because you need to free yourself or because you're deserving of feeling better.
Right.
But purely because I'm getting like bad vibes from you.
Yeah.
And now that this negatively impacts me, this negatively impacts the group. And so now
everybody's gotta be around.
You need to be put on the spot.
Yeah.
In front of everybody to now like, let's air that. Let's address that because you've inconvenienced me now.
Right. Well, and it's interesting too. So she gets done with this whole thing. She told Juliana, she's like, you have a smirk on your face if you didn't know. Juliana doesn't. She just looks shocked. She was just like, what the hell is happening? And she's like, you have a smirk on your face. And it's like, no, that's just confusion.
It also is just so, from the outside looking in, very obviously Teal's jealousy.
Yes.
With over Blake, and that he has now met a woman who
has
replaced her in his, like, in, like, taken the spot that Teal had.
Yeah.
And is now, he's like, I am going to marry her. He proposes, like, they get married.
Yeah.
Like, he is all for this life with this other woman. And she kind of, it seems like in the beginning, Teal was like, well, if you can't beat him, join him. Ended up liking her. And then she was like, oh, no.
Just kidding.
Like, this is serious. They're actually going to be a thing. Well, right. Now she's the enemy.
Yeah. That and like, Juliana has the guts to say, I don't think we should force someone into your treatment if they don't want to go. And now, well, now you're my enemy.
Right.
And like, it's just so interesting. So she's like, OK, well, then why don't you go over your personal opinions on me? And then we'll have everybody else say what they think your opinions are of me.
Wait, everyone else is going to tell the group what Juliana must think about Teal.
Yes. So even though Juliana is going to say it, everybody else has to go around and say what they think she thinks instead.
This is like that role play.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we're going to take other people and be like, actually, this is what I felt the situation must have been like. So this is the reality now.
Their conjecture is now your truth.
Come on.
And so Juliana, to be fair, handles this very well.
Like, how did she fight the urge to not just like put a finger on each hand up?
Yep.
Okay.
And flip the table over and leave. That's what I'd do. Well, it's so interesting because she sits there and she goes, well, I'm actually like, I'm afraid of you. Like, I'm afraid is how I'm doing. And Teal, and this shocked me, but is like, yeah, you should be. And I was like,
okay.
Interesting.
Just thought Juliana should like blast the real some shady and like.
Right. Do, 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 do. But she sits there and she goes over and she says a very nice, well-worded thing that doesn't talk a lot about her personal opinions of the ethicalness or the healthiness of it. She's like, I think you're very passionate. I think you have a very clear idea of what you want. And like, these are all positives. They're mm-hmm. said very kindly, like amicably. And then Teal's basically like, well, yeah, that's some bullshit, sugar-coated and bullshit. So what does everybody else think? And then she writes down a list of what everybody else says and reads back to Juliana, you think, and then reads it off. Like, you think I'm this, you think I'm that, you think I'm this. And it's like, how in the hell is your whole platform based off of people's personal experiences that you claim you don't influence and you claim you're not manipulating in any way? And then you'll sit there and tell someone exactly that they think a certain thing that never came out of their mouth. And in fact, everyone was around when it came out of someone else's mouth.
And not only that, but if you're the person that's like, actually, Juliana didn't do anything wrong, are you really going to say that to Teal so that next time you're the one that everyone sits in a circle and is like, oh, tell me everything you hate about this one?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just really interesting. It is so incredibly sad to me. There is so much from this series that I didn't even have a chance to get into. Like, there's just not enough time in the world. But like, there are all of these accounts from other people, and I'm thinking of a few from Jared specifically, but I know Diana said a few things about it, that Teal is still very much hurting and very much in her own struggles with mental health. And who isn't? Like, mm-hmm. this is not a judgment. Who the fuck isn't? But like, if her claims on how she can treat it is that she got through it, first of all, that's not how that works. And second of all, she hasn't gotten through it. She's still dealing.
And she's still actively like self-harming and things like that, which are, you know, self-injurious behavior is not something to take lightly.
No.
And if she's claiming to have some kind of authority to help other people overcome that, but that's still what she uses to cope.
Right.
That's concerning.
Yeah. Especially when there's literally no other code of ethics, no other foundation that she has this authority on or experience with. There's nothing to claim her expertise other than her experience, which only she has been able to prove or, you know, self-prove, and she herself hasn't gotten through. So it's really confusing how this gets put out to everybody. And it's so hard because what she is doing could be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It has so much potential.
So one of the things that I really wanted to go back to, because it just sat so odd with me,
mm-hmm.
was the process. I think it was when you were talking about Elliot.
Okay.
But it was like, okay, somebody has this traumatic circumstance or struggling with something. So everybody in the room is assigned a different person in Elliot's life.
Yep.
And then it's just like, all right, and go. It's like an improv scene, yeah. It sounds like. And it's just like, if you were mad at Elliot that day, you could just be like, well, I'm Elliot's mom, and looking at little Elliot over there, played by like fucking Sarah.
Yep.
Who is, you know,
once again, not Elliot.
Not Elliot and not a child. Be like, well, as Elliot's mom, you know, what just keeps coming to my head is that he's just a fugly bitch.
Yep. I'm just disgusted.
I think as his mother, I feel like Elliot is a fugly bitch.
Yep.
And Teal would be like,
You heard the lady.
Elliot, did you hear that? What your mom is telling you.
Yep. And that's exactly what it is.
Is that you're a fugly bitch. And it's like, that's just truth now? Like, we're just making that up? Like, you could be mad at Elliot. Like, Elliot, like, stepped on my fucking shoe. And now I'm like, now actually.
Out for blood.
Like, that blows my mind because, you know, we talked a lot. I think it was in the first part, maybe the second one. About, like, hey, a lot of this can be rooted in really good ideas.
Yeah.
Right? Like, reframing and reworking traumatic memories and trying to like desensitize to it and to not be so reactive or to not be in fight or flight, but like to then just simply replace the memory seemingly and be like, no, this is the new reality now.
Yeah, process that.
This is what you need to work through. It's like trauma therapy is really the root of it is like an acknowledgement of the truth,
right?
Like, you have to acknowledge what happened first. Like, I think that's, like, step one.
Yeah.
Is like, okay, this is what happened. And then where do I go from here? Not, this is what happened. This is what I think should have happened. And that's the reality now. Let's pretend the other thing didn't happen. That is absolutely bananas to me.
Well, and it's crazier to me because she'll tell you. And, I mean, thank God, she's not practicing therapy. She'll, you know, up and down. That's not what I do. I'm here for spirituality. But you could call it fucking Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing trauma work, you're doing trauma work.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to walk people through anxiety and different diagnoses on claims of having been through, quote unquote, it all, so you can help someone else go through whatever they're going through, whatever measly problem in comparison to what you happen to go through. And then you're making all of this worse. Like, I don't care if you believe you're doing it or if you say you're doing it. That's what's happening to people. And they don't deserve to have to live with, I watched my cousin get burned on a grill at a family barbecue because that's what Barbara Snow told you 30 years ago.
Right.
Now it's just exponentially worse. Like, now there's just exponentially more people with this trauma.
Yeah, it's the world's worst pyramid scheme.
It is. And they tell two friends.
And then they tell two friends. And if we all look under our chairs,
you get a trauma.
Yep.
It's my Teal Day. Oh my God.
You get your very own trauma to bring home with you today.
And you know what? I talked to your mom and it's true.
And also she thinks
you're a fugly bitch.
You're a fugly bitch. But like, that's the shit that absolutely rocks me. Like, yeah. We had that conversation. I was like, wait a minute. Let me just make sure I've got this right.
Yeah.
And it's like, people are believing that. It's like so many people's biases come into play with that, whether they want to look the best in Teal's eyes, like they're competing for like the most profound response you can have, right, so that she values you, or you don't like the person that it is, or you do like somebody else, or you're jealous of this. Like, there are so many personal shitty ways that humans can like fuck with each other in that way, and you put all of that weight in that? Are you kidding me? What the hell is going on?
Well, and that's why like I'm so grateful that Molly came back and said no, because I was thinking no in terms of like, are you causing people to commit suicide? She's not holding a gun. She's not texting them like, mm-hmm, do it. But it's the lack of any accountability, of any ethics that she has to uphold. Like, part of,
because she said she is not, like, in terms of being a suicide catalyst, was that an accurate term? Molly said no.
Correct.
In terms of the cult,
maybe.
Could be.
Yes.
Okay.
Almost specifically for the inner circle of that. But I think my concern with it is like, if you are reaching people the way that you are with the content that you are, whether or not you're going to claim it's for spirituality or for psychology or whatever you want to say it is, these people are seeking answers and you're claiming to have the total authority of answers. Your conviction matches, your ego matches. And people will follow that, mm-hmm, unfortunately. And when you get people that are at a point where they're hopeless enough that they're looking for things to understand why they want to harm themselves or how to take their lives or that they want to at all, you are really messing with people who, like it or not, are putting a shitload of faith in you, whether or not you're advertising that. And I think that's the frustrating part, is Teal sits here and says, you know, I know these people are helpless. I know they'll do whatever the fuck I tell them to do. It doesn't become a cult because I'm saying no. And I went through a cult, so how dare you suggest that? Well, you're also actively going through NSSIB and like self-harm and having suicidal ideation. And yet you're putting other people through that. NSSIB, if you don't know, is non-suicidal self-injurious behavior. So NSSIB or self-harm, but anything like that. I don't know if you're still going through it. I don't count that as an authority other than for empathizing. And that truly, like, if your whole statement on that's why you're not a cult is because you've been through it, so how dare you? Well, you're contradicting yourself here too. Like, also, I don't know what else to do about that.
Also, it was founded that you, like, there was no cults, and like what you said happened very, very likely did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that piece. So if we're going to say, oh, this is why you have to believe me, it's because I went through this, like that is severely unconfirmed.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. If you guys can hear weird noises, I apologize. Mia is headbutting the microphone so hard.
She just loves it. She loves you guys. Hi, she sweetie. Said they need a love.
Yeah, she loves giving little headbutts. So aww. That's a little gift for you. She's thankful for you too. Here's what this kind of reminds me of.
Yes.
It's not that I think that this is the same, but it sort of reminds me of this in this really weird, in this weird way. So here's what I mean.
Okay.
There was a case a few years back out of Massachusetts.
Mm, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Where the girlfriend and boyfriend were dating. I think at this time they had broken up. The boyfriend had struggled significantly with his mental health.
Yeah.
And was highly suicidal, spoke of it often. And I don't know that he'd had any history of attempts. I'm like going off of memory here, but like he confided in her with what he was dealing with. And she was like, do it.
Yeah.
She's like, say you won't do it. Kill yourself. And they kind of went back and forth, and she was aware of what his plan was. And basically by the time he was found, he was dead.
Yeah.
But she knew, and so she didn't force him to do it. She didn't have a gun to his head and say, you need to do this. And she certainly didn't do, like, line everything up and make it so that he died. Like, she didn't kill right. him. But it was this really new age problem that we've had with, like, social media and different ways that we communicate and responsibilities of, like, sort of that social contract and that social responsibility you have of, like, if right. you know that this is happening. Because otherwise, like, how the hell would you know? Like, in 300 years ago, it was like, well, they told me that. Okay. Well,
right.
He sent a text, or they might have talked about it, but, like, you can't get nuance from that. You can't get, you know, enunciation. Like, you can't get tone. You can't get any of that right. from that. So there's a lot of different weird arguments to be made about, like, did she know? Didn't she know? I mean, like, I think it right. was very clear she did know, and she was encouraging it, but it was like, whose responsibility is that?
Right.
Because ultimately, somebody who wants to take their own life, and they really, really do, and it's a really bitter, hard pill to swallow for a lot of people, but if somebody really wants to do that, it's likely that they will. Now, there's about a 5-minute window of people wanting to do it, and they're actually, like, doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's very impulsive, usually.
Yes, it's very, very impulsive. That's why more men die by suicide, typically, because men choose an equally impulsive instant response versus women will tend to choose a method that is, like, slower, and there's more time to, like, that 5 minutes can go by, and you're like, oh, I actually don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, let me call the doctor, I'll get my stomach pumped, versus, like, other methods don't have as big of an intervention window to reverse it.
Exactly. And so in this situation, she was charged, and I believe that she's doing time.
I believe you're right.
For basically, like, manslaughter.
Yeah.
Because she was aware of that. And now this is nowhere near what Teal is doing. And I really don't. I think that there's a, how do I say this? somebody who wants to harm themselves is going to do it. And I don't, unless you are the one giving them the tools and telling them to do it, that it isn't like legally
right
your responsibility. If you could have done something as it was going on, like you have a responsibility to do something.
Yeah.
But if you're not aware of that, but it kind of reminds me of that, of like from afar, yeah, through like technology, we can understand that people are struggling, and encouraging them to do anything other than get professional help and try to stay alive and do, like, how do we keep you safe today? How do we keep you safe for now?
We're not tomorrow.
We're not worrying about next week. We're not worrying about next year. What can we do today? How do we keep you here and healthy? And how do we get you help?
Right.
I feel like if your response is anything other than that, ethically, I have an issue with it. I don't know about legally, but I feel like, you know, the biggest thing I think that got Teal attention was like, suicide's a reset button. It's like, no, the fuck it isn't.
No. Well, and that's the thing, right? And I think all of these things individually could be so positive, but it's all of them combined and this sort of lack of ethical code, this ultimate self-proclaimed authority. Like, there are all of these things combined with it that is what makes it so difficult. I don't think believing in reincarnation is bad. I don't think that people who are suicidal are bad. I do think in relation to that case, like, God forbid, thank God it didn't happen. But if Jared had gone and taken his life after she immediately was like, go kill yourself then if you're not going to be here. Or if Diana had, when she had shown her how as a kid, that would be a much different conversation. But because those things didn't happen, because of the actions of the other person, not because of her, I still deem her part in that as equally responsible. Of like, it's Jared's fault in a good way that you are not being charged with something because you would have been the catalyst for that. And in my opinion, she's gotten lucky twice. Right. And I'm not going to presume there's anything more than that. But like, I think it's a very interesting, very slippery slope of, I believe in a new life. Not everything has to be Western and clinical, which is so true. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a reason that things are, and it's so that you know you're not combining things like suicide and reincarnation equals positive reset button.
Right.
That's not real math, and that's not true, and it's actively harming people to think about it that way.
Right, but somebody could also, you know, person A could tell person B, you know, the world would be better without you, say a bunch of horrible, cruel, untrue things.
Yeah.
And person B could choose to take their own life. While I think, like, personally, morally, ethically, spiritually, person A was wrong and you got to answer to God for that, legally, did person A do that? You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, we have to separate all of these things and look at them. While I disagree with it, do I think that the legal system should find you responsible for this? Because it's really hard to make somebody responsible for somebody else's actions.
Right. The culpability would be incredibly difficult to prove if they could at all.
Like, you tell me to go play in traffic, I go play in traffic and I get hit by a car and I break my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, should you have to pay my medical bills because my arm was broken and now I have to go to the doctor? Or is it, okay, well, you told me that, but I still made decisions. I still have free will.
Right.
And that's a really big issue when I think with this, because then you obviously can't ask the other person the circumstances. Like, but I do think Teal specifically, because she's got this platform and because she is an influencer, I guess, if you could put it that way, and the spiritual leader, as she would call herself, and that she has the answers to everything. And so she's taken this authority on that.
Mm-hmm.
And she essentially is saying, like, it's a way out.
Yeah. And I want to be so very clear here that, like, Molly said, I'm saying it separately and in tandem. Like, I don't think Teal has caused suicides. I think there have been moments where she could have been close, that the law could have found that. I don't think that what she's doing is okay, but I'm not claiming she's committed crimes.
Well, right. But, no, but that's what I mean. And that's the thing that I think is really important to,
right,
to differentiate.
Oh, cute. You owe me a Coke.
No, you.
No, I owe you like a billion. You owe me one.
Okay, fine.
But it's one of those things too where I just really struggle with it because I also think it's so incredibly important to talk about. People who don't talk about suicide aren't getting outlets to talk about it. There's no place to ask your questions to people who have maybe considered that and healed, or who have read more things that are maybe a little more empirically based. Like, there are so many different reasons to talk about it that aren't going to cause someone to do it. And also, we still need to talk about it in a responsible and kind way that's not going to encourage someone to do this flippantly.
Yeah, it's like when you have that audience that she has, not only do you have a large audience, but you have an audience of people that are struggling. You have a, what I think is a moral responsibility to not spread misinformation.
Yep.
And misinformation to me would include, like, if you don't like it, just reset it.
Yeah.
That, now I don't think that she's saying it as like casually as that, but I think that one of the things that sort of got her in trouble publicly was like, hey, it's the world's biggest reset button.
Right.
And you can come back and give it another shot. And I think that was like further explained when she's talking to the group about that young woman who had left, and, you know, yes, her and her husband were there and she took her own life, and then she's like, so sadly I have to say she passed away, but on the bright side, she was reborn 3 days later.
Yeah.
And is now, you know, so it's like, oh, but on a positive note, like, here's the good that came out of this. Right. And it's like, there is no good that comes out of that. Somebody's life was lost. This is a tragedy. This shouldn't be anything celebrated. This shouldn't be anything happy. That was somebody in pain that you knew was in pain, and you pretty much told her, choose life or choose death, but make a choice.
Right. And who, again, with everything going right, wants to take their own life anyway, but specifically who has just been cut off from their families and stopped taking their meds against medical advice or without medical advice.
Whose husband is taking this other person's side and not yours, right, in this, the lowest point of your life.
And who's looking to grow, is told you'll be able to grow this way. And then it's like, choose, do it all my way, exactly how I want, which is causing you to struggle right now.
And you're not strong enough to do it. So I feel like the answer is pretty clear, because you've struggled this far. How are you going to do better?
Right. And the other thing is, I think, and again, that's the hard part of this case. It's so much nuance, but I also believe that most therapists, and I'm going to say most, I would venture to say all, but just covering my basis, most therapists are not responsible for their clients who kill themselves. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. People do it, though, if they really want to, if they don't want help.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want that help, even if impulsively they say, I don't.
If you are finding people who are looking up, you know, what to do if you're feeling this way, who click on that video and watch it, there is a shred, mm-hmm, of them that wants to live.
Exactly.
And you've got them for a second. If that keeps them alive 30 more minutes, then that's a good thing. If they're going to watch that to do that, you got them through it. Great.
Right.
But it's also, to me, your responsibility that if you're going to claim to have any kind of authority, you need to also encourage them to do the things that actually will keep them alive.
Right. And you can't have both. You can't have ultimate authority and also every get out of jail free card. One comes with the other. What's the fucking Spider-Man quote? Like, with great power comes great responsibility. You can't say that you are this end-all be-all ultimate authority. There's no one above you in authority on this. Like, you can't have that and also negate all responsibility for anything that happens based off of what you say. And I am so sad about this, because I am such an advocate for so much of, just in general, like, Eastern healing and older medical practices that aren't just empirical, scientific, clinical.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that empirical, scientific, clinical comes up is to make sure that by not documenting it, by not looking at it, that we're not causing people to take their own lives by saying suicide is a reset button. Mm-hmm. If, you know, allegedly, obviously she didn't cause that, but like, that's why we look at this, because it's important to see how things interact and mix and overlap, especially when providing care to people who desperately need that care.
Exactly.
And I would say she's still one of them. She has a mental health condition, at least one. I'm not a therapist. I can't diagnose it. But clearly, whatever it is, it's difficult to manage. It might not be curable. Not every disease is. But you can manage it with treatment and the desire to consistently manage it.
Yeah, and not only that, but she's also already been, like, what, cited by the state?
Yeah.
For, like, hey, you can't do that. Like, you can't, like, yes, you, like, we can acknowledge she's got other stuff going on, but, like, we can also acknowledge that, like, she has put herself out there to say, like, this is treatment.
Right.
And, like, homegirl's got some stuff to work on.
Yeah.
As we all do. No, nobody is perfect, but, like, to claim that you were an authority of, like, how to be the absolute best in the world and you struggle to get through daily life is really hard to see somebody struggling with so much of a platform.
Well, and it's one of those things that's like part of the reason I'm such an advocate for licensure. I'm an advocate of going to someone who has taken that more westernized medicine route of like, I'm going to get licensed. I'm going to be a part of a field, like on a board. And that's because everybody has their own shit. Mm-hmm. Everybody does. Everybody has a bias. Everybody has their own mental health. Everybody has their own trauma and triggers and things like that. And in the realm of psychology, you have supervisors that you can go to for what is literal like licensure supervision to say, hey, I'm fucking struggling here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help this person. But you know what? Their left ear just looks a little bit too much like my dad's. And that's freaking me out. And then you have someone there to say, okay, well, we can transfer them to someone else. So they're still getting help and you don't have to feel this way. Or we can talk through how you can treat them and manage this.
Despite the other things that this is setting off for you. But like, yeah, because there's a checks and balances and there's always somebody of a higher authority than you that is like checking your work, that you can consult, to ask questions, to ask advice, to vent, because a lot of therapy work, like, therapists need therapy too.
Yes.
But
especially if you're taking on everybody else's. So,
but if I had a therapist that claimed that she had all of the answers, I probably wouldn't go to her again, because I need somebody who can like admit when they're wrong.
Yeah.
And have a conversation that just seemed, I feel like I would feel so judged if I had a therapist that was like, not that I'm saying she's saying I'm a therapist, but if I had somebody who said like, well, I know every thought that's ever been thought and I have the answers to everything in the world. And
right.
I can see things that you can't see and hear things that you can't hear. And because of that, it makes me a better person to help you. I'd be like, I just really wanted to talk about the stressful time when this thing happened. And
I just wanted you to validate me in feeling overwhelmed that happened. I don't want to know if you're
like human to human. This doesn't feel human to human anymore.
Right. And so that's a big part of it. And also just, my God, like, if you are a therapist and you practice on your family members, there's going to be a history of that. There's going to be a trail of, hey, Barbara Snow, we saw that this happened. And you can then, as the consumer of that product, make a choice with the information that you're given. Mm-hmm. You can't do that if there's no checks and balances. You can't be sure that she's recognizing her own shit if there's nobody there to help her and hold her to doing that, which you can with somebody else. And that's not to say it's infallible and that it's perfect and that we're not still learning. My God, we're learning every day, and thank God for it. But if you don't go, you don't start the process of other people learning that if you have the miraculous one thing that isn't written down yet, or we haven't found the last stage of science to back up what's going on or why. Like, that's the beauty of science, and it's the beauty of religion, and I think they overlap really nicely here, is that you're always putting your faith in something.
Mm-hmm.
So pick something that's at least got something grounded to it. And whether that's your personal experience or evidence or stats or whatever, you know me, I'm a numbers girly. I want to see it replicated. I want to see it done again, and I want to know it's going to be the same, give or take a few percentage points, you know? But like, if that for you is someone who says, I've been through this, that's fine. But just take it with a grain of salt. Take it for all it is, which is one other person's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, I guess that's the point I'm trying to take, is like, she does not have to be bad. We're not trying to villainize her. I think she's got a lot of shit she's working on. Zero judgment. Me too, queen. Me too. But the idea of taking everything she says at face value for exactly what it is with no qualms or hesitation, and if you bring it up, then you're a bad guy, that feels icky to me.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have to agree with the private investigator that
yeah,
I don't think she's responsible for someone taking their own life, because inherently that is something that an action that somebody else took. I do think that ethically and morally, there's a responsibility, or at least hopefully the desire to like want to help in the best way that you can.
Yeah.
And I would never encourage somebody to do that, but that's me. I think in terms of, is this a cult? Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't, there's some things that she doesn't get from me. Like the money piece, I think is ultimately makes things like very culty. Like,
yeah,
pretty much everything that you have goes into the pot, you right. know, and she doesn't need to rely on that. But first of all, she's absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Yep.
That's going to get her views. She's got this platform to reach people on, and it's free, YouTube.
Hell yeah.
She can reach the masses from all over the world, and she's going to get paid for viewership for that. So I don't think that she's hurting for the money where, like, other cults might.
Right. It's not Nexium, like, pay me thousands of dollars to take this class.
Right. And then I'm going to make you watch really horrific videos with a weird man sitting in the corner.
Oh my God, I forgot all about that.
And then let you leave. And like this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
None of that's going on. Like, at least that we've heard. But it does seem like, okay, spend $5,000, come out, and then I'm going to have strangers role play
your most traumatic memories
and play the most important people in your life,
right,
who they've never met. And say words that those people have never said before and be like, this is it now. This is what it is. It's like, well, that's all well and fine, but I'm still dealing with what really happened.
Right.
And that's what I came here for. Like, that's what I needed help with. Not like what... And now what,
it's compounded. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Not what Jessica thought was, right. you know, my older sister's opinion.
Right. And I think it's just that. That whole completion process, the memory play is so sticky. It's such a slippery slope. I totally get it. This is why, again, empirical evidence is really good when it comes to stacking methods, because you'd think role playing something traumatic that happened, envisioning yourself having the ability to get out or be your own savior would be really empowering. And in times it is. You'd think re-triggering yourself would help desensitize you, because at times it is. But that's why you have to do all of these tests to get something approved as like a therapy technique, because mm-hmm. they have to say, okay, we know that you can do both of these things and they work well together, but ooh, actually here, this doesn't seem to be helping and we don't recommend that. And it's important to be critical. This is your life. It's your mind. It's your world.
You should absolutely be, I think, skeptical about any of these things, because
oh, yeah.
you can't just be like, ah, oh, yes, this is the all-knowing, and give yourself to that freely and wholly, like with your whole chest, and not really truly understand it.
Right. And I think when we get to the point where what's happening is impacting people's daily lives, it's impacting their functioning, their living, their relationships, the people they love and they care about. And these are all the things, mind you, that we just said we were thankful for at the beginning of this episode. Right? The things we're able to do, the people we love, the people that love us. Those are huge. So for that to be at stake, you value it with what it is. It's your life. So, I mean, I'm not a therapist. I'm not claiming to be. I'm not diagnosing. I'm not doing anything. I'm just saying it sounds like a lot of people here have a lot of work to do. And I totally appreciate where Western psychology fails. But I encourage you to not give up entirely and to maybe add elements instead of putting elements in lieu of clinical treatment.
Yeah, like you want to hurt yourself or you want to die. So it's like, let's really visualize your death. Just seems really not
right.
Not super productive for people who are struggling, because they may be like, yeah, oh, it'd be over. That sounds ooh, nice. That's kind of like what I was planning on doing. This sounds fantastic.
Versus like get into treatment a little bit, work it through, feel a little more stable, and then really think that through and say, oh my God, my mom would have found me. She would have thought about this for the rest of her life.
Yeah. Or it's like, okay, so, you know, some therapists take the approach of like, you want to kill yourself. Okay, kill that version.
Yeah. Your like, new life will cost your old one, but
like, let's kill.
Doesn't have to cost you.
Let's kill the pain. You know, we want to end something. Let's try to end that. Let's try to cope with that so we can end the suffering.
Right.
Even if we still have to do that. But instead of that, it was just this reframing of like, yeah, how was that? All right. So now that you're alive.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah.
And that just seems very nutty to me. So I want to hear from our listeners. I want to know what you guys all think.
Tell us.
Do you think this is a cult?
Do you think it's a cult? Do you, I don't know. What are your takes on all of it? What's your take on the suicide thing? What's your take on, is it a cult overall? Is it a cult just within the inner circle? I would say it's definitely a cult of personality on the inner circle, but not on the outer circle. I think the outer circle seems very self-help from what I've seen, and I love that. I encourage self-help all the time.
There's some great ideas in here.
Hell yeah. There's even some actual fucking truths in here.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few. It's just the issue of interpretation and the way that she's implementing them on top of each other.
there's things, again, like we said in the very first episode, there are so many things that she says that I'm like, I could get behind that.
Yeah.
Like, she's bound to say something that you agree with. It's just, where do you go from there? Do I think that she's this cult leader? Personally, no. I don't think so. I think that she just has a really big following, and she says a lot of off-the-cuff things that I would disagree with. And I think that there's a lot of vulnerable people that watch, and I think that she should be careful with that, because a lot of people are going to put a lot of stock in what you say, and please be very mindful of what you're saying and how you say it, especially when you've claimed to like never make mistakes. Like, so they're going to take what you say as very intentional.
Right.
Well, but I mean,
yeah, I don't think that she's running a cult. I think running a cult includes actively, intentionally participating.
Just sounds like
it literally feels like she stumbled into being a cult leader, and her mental health has really propped up this ego that has helped other people say, okay, yes, then this conviction means it's right.
To me, it just seems like you knew somebody in high school like that.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say.
What a woman, too.
Huh? That's all I'm going to say. Well, we definitely want to hear from you.
Yes, we would love it. Speaking of hearing from you guys, and also just to nicely pivot away from this, I have two quick things. The first is that Teal is still practicing. If you wanted to, well, I shouldn't say practicing because she's not a therapist. Teal is still running her completion process. She is still on socials. She's still doing all of these things. Once again, I just really want to drive home, we are not trying to malign or offend or in any way make people feel isolated or alone for their beliefs or participation in anything like this. That's never our job. It's not our intention. We just simply want to raise the red flags that are there. I also want to just go over with you guys really quick. Last week, we talked about 10 signs that a leader or group is a cult from Cult Education. I wanted to end today with just some green flags in a group, because I don't want you guys to think that we're anti-everything. We're just anti-red flags.
Mm-hmm.
So the green flags for a group, as discussed, is a safe group or leader will answer your questions without becoming judgmental or punitive. A safe group or leader will disclose information such as finances and often offer independently audited financial statements regarding budget and expenses. Safe groups and leaders will tell you more than you want to know, which is always ideal. A safe group or leader is often democratic, sharing decision-making and encouraging accountability and oversight. A safe group or leader may have disgruntled former followers, but will not vilify, excommunicate, and forbid others from associating with them. A safe group or leader will not have a paper trail of overwhelmingly negative records, books, articles, or statements about them. A safe group or leader will encourage family communication, community interaction, and existing friendships and not feel threatened. A safe group or leader will recognize reasonable boundaries and limitations when dealing with others. A safe group or leader will encourage critical thinking, individual autonomy, and feelings of self-esteem. We love to see it. A safe group or leader will admit failings and mistakes and accept constructive criticism and advice. And lastly, A safe group or leader will not be the only source of knowledge and learning, excluding everyone else, but value dialogue and the free exchange of ideas. Find a safe place. I don't care where it is. I don't care who all's involved, as long as you're not hurting yourself or others and you are valued and it is an open space for you. That's what I care about. So
if you're in the market, take a look at that list and make sure it checks your boxes.
With everything that we talk about, as always, like I said, it is linked below in that sources and resources Google Doc. There's a bunch of resources too for people, but that specifically was the cult education link. And it talks about all sorts of things. So you can go back and double check, triple check if you care. But I found a fun little quote on Instagram that I feel like would be a really good transition. And that was that the opposite of trauma is not healed, but it is living the way that you wouldn't have let yourself live otherwise. Which I think is very interesting. Because you're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. You just need to remember how to be fully yourself again. So speaking of being fully yourself, of living your life, having other people's thoughts and opinions and valuing all that, we are going to wrap up today with just some of those fun little questions that you guys asked.
We're definitely not going to shame you for asking questions. In fact, we very much encourage it and love it and love you guys.
We value this dialogue, babes.
We want this to be a very safe space because there's so much room at this table for all of you. And we just feel lucky that we get to sit here with you.
Hell yeah. And thank you again for just letting me basically passion project rant for 8 hours about this. So all of the love to you guys.
And thank you all for all of the love on the Teal Swan series.
Oh my gosh. For real.
We so very much appreciate it. I love an Abby hyperfixation and I cannot wait for the next one.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the horror of a landscape that is my brain is so beneficial for other people.
I love that landscape. It is absolutely beautiful.
She's got her highlights. She's got her pros and her cons.
That she does. Well, if you're leaving us now, we hope that you'll consider following, rating, reviewing, subscribing.
All the above.
All of the things. We love you and we'll see you next week. But if you want to stick around for our questions, then okay, we'll get into it.
Oh. Oh, I love these. Okay, so we had a few, and then Allie and I just also decided we'd briefly go over what we did answer, so in case you missed the 24 hours,
that it was the on answer the story. Still.
So that should be pretty fun. But if I remember right, I think the question started off with dog breed. Like, if we got a dog, what kind of dog would we want?
Yeah, someone asked, if we both got dogs, what kinds would you get?
And I said a King Cavalier.
You did. And I said some kind of lab, I think. But really, yeah. I'd get whatever dog speaks to me.
Yeah, I don't care. Hashtag adopt, don't shop. But also, they're just so freaking cute with their floppy ears. Oh, and they're so small. And once when I was like 8, I had one chew on my flip-flop. And I was like, we're soulmates. So.
And you were like, you can have it. It's fine. I only needed one anyway.
Yeah. I said, I'll hop to the car. Thank you. They were bright ass purple. So.
I love that. We had another question asking, what case do we each want solved? Which I said, honestly, I mean, first of all, there's like 20 cases.
Oh, a billion.
That I can think of. So I try to give a different answer every time. personally, I want the JFK documents unsealed. And I want to read them because he's my favorite. I'm so fascinated by the Kennedys.
Yes.
And I know there's more in there. I know it's just not what we think it is. I gotta know.
Hell no.
So I really want to know the truth. Like someday if I ever get to like ask a question, like I'm like, tell me on the DL like what really happened and I can know the answer. That'd be a contender for sure.
I struggle with this one. I am the opposite. I tend to stick to the same every time, which is like I'm very, if my fucking 7-hour fixation couldn't prove it, I'm very interested in the JonBenet case. I think it's fascinating and I would love to have confirmation. But the problem is I have just enough delusion to think that I have most of it down.
Mm-hmm.
So it would probably feel like confirmation rather than like, here's an answer.
Right.
I would also really love to know what happened with the Romanoff family. Like for real, what happened there?
What about the Black Dahlia?
The Black Dahlia.
Who did that to her?
The staircase.
Okay.
I got to know about the staircase. There's just too many coincidences, but there's not enough to link it together quite like the JonBenet Ramsey case, where mm-hmm. it's like, I see enough of these things externally that I could link it in a few different ways and have them all make sense. I can't find anything that makes the staircase make sense.
Right, but at the same
quite time, like that.
I'm not going to name names.
But like, we know.
But the brother did it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Are you
allegedly.
Kidding? Allegedly. Again, big old parentheses. Slap that allegedly up front. But, oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
I would just want the confirmation of how. I don't want the narrative. But, like, there's no fucking way that's not what happened.
Oh, yeah.
It was a family affair, and that's fine. Protect your own, but also, like, maybe not at the expense of someone's life.
One of the other ones, I don't know if you guys remember, back in episode 125, I covered the murder of Kathy, and it was pronounced like 10 different ways, Crossneck, and her husband, many years later, ended up being charged with, convicted of, and sentenced to prison for her murder. And it was unsolved for a very long time.
Mm.
Their daughter believed in their dad's innocence, and he had since passed away, so there was like not going to be justice served. I would love to know, did he really do it?
Yeah, because that's the one that her family was pretty sure that he did, and her daughter was like, no, right?
Yeah, they ended up like, okay, when everything came out, they were like, oh, actually. But it would have been years and years later.
Yeah,
so it was just like this perfect sort of storm. And then the poor daughter was like, you know, they got it wrong, and now I don't have parents.
Right.
Like, my mom died, and you took away the only parent I ever did have.
Right.
Who didn't do this. And there's so many things that, like, I want the answer to that. Like, mm-hmm. I just want it, like, to be a fly in the wall for that hour of time. What happened in that hour?
Yeah.
What really happened? And a little Easter egg here, a little hint, next week, the case that I'm covering, that is on my list too.
Ooh.
Because I need to know, and I don't know, and we won't know, and it's really, 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 really bad and really hard, but very worth talking about. But that is also on my list. I just can't tell you the deets right now.
Ooh, I'm excited. I mean, I'm horrified probably, but I'm excited to be horrified with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard. The unsolved cases, it's like every time I get one, like a question of like, what do you want solved? The go-to is JonBenet. And then immediately after that, like in the exhale, is every other case, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm like, oh my God, and what about this one and that one and this one and that one? Ah, like,
yeah,
I just want to know.
So that's a very loaded question.
Right.
Thanks for asking it.
Definitely. We also got a question as to if we like pineapple on pizza, and I say, hell yeah.
I say, I don't think I've ever had it.
I mean, I have to be in the mood for it, but once I am, that shit slaps.
My husband's a huge fan of it.
Yeah, he's kind of weird, though.
I'm a good date because he can...
Yeah, he can have all the pizza.
He can have all of the pineapple pizza, and I'm not going to take a piece on him.
Yeah,
that's true. It works out.
Now, him and I can't go out for pizza. We'd be brawling. No, I'm kidding.
No, yeah, you guys, like, be fists out.
Normally, I'm very easygoing with a lot of food. Just don't put mold on it.
What she means by that is blue cheese.
Ugh.
But anyway.
Did I stutter?
Anyway.
But, yeah, so that is my answer on pineapple on pizza. What else did we have?
Somebody asked about our favorite genres of music, and I don't have one.
I would also say I don't have one, but if I'm going to be so for real with you guys, Spotify has Yearning in my day list a lot, and I'm not sure what that says, but it's there. The Spotify day lists are really getting out of control for me.
Because it's like very oddly specific and correct.
Yes, it's so niche. Let's see. I will live read you what's on mine right now. It is rage scream night. You listen to pop and strut at night. Here's some scream, rage, bubblegum pop, pink Pilates, princess treadmill, and belter. Whatever the fuck that means.
Okay, I like that. I don't know how to find that on mine. Hold on. Mine is apparently lit baller Tuesday night. I will have to say, though, that my husband and I share a Spotify account, so some of this
That's
is
fair.
His fault. because I don't listen to a lot of
fucking
this.
Fucking guy.
But I'd say mine is more pop, some soft rock, indie, some jazz.
Yeah.
Not really a country fan, but I'm getting there. Like, I'm getting back into it, but it hasn't been my thing for so long. I will tell you, I'm not a Swiftie.
Yeah, I am, though.
See, I don't, like, hate her or anything. It's just, like, her music never... Like, I didn't get into it in, like, high school, and so I've just... It never happened.
Yeah. That's fair.
So that's not my thing. I'm fucking loving Sabrina Carpenter right now.
Ugh. So many kisses. I...
When she said, I make quite an impression, 5 feet to be exact, I was like, me? Why'd like, you... You're talking about me? Thank
that's
you.
That's so cute. That's crazy.
Thanks, girl.
I think I've always been a big Ariana Grande stan. I like Taylor Swift. I think more people would like her if her fans weren't as insufferable. I'm sorry I said it.
No, it's
I
true.
Love us. Don't get me wrong. I'm one of us. One of us. But it's okay to be... It's okay to just like her.
It's
and
okay
that's
to
fine.
Tone it down.
Yeah, it's totally fine. And you know what? If you love it, be loud about it. That's fine. But that's why I think less people give it a chance. I think she's a phenomenal lyricist, but she could maybe use a new producer. I like really everything except for EDM. I have a really hard time with EDM.
I don't do EDM.
The only thing I like that's kind of EDM is there's a song on Brat called Mean Girls, but it's got such a fucking killer piano spot in it. But the rest of it is like, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I tend to prefer like real instruments. Yes. There's still talent involved in all of that, but I'm not really listening. It's just for me, like what's appealing. I'm not like, well, that's no talent, so I don't like it. That's not it. I just don't like the sound. It doesn't do anything for me. Abby and I are diehard every day of the week Hozier fans.
Ugh, every day
so
of the year.
I feel like that's a good one to just even us out. If you were wondering, that's where we are.
Yeah, that's where we meet in the middle. Also, not to brag, a little to brag, was in his top 0.05% of fans for 3 years. And one of those was also a 0.005. And I was like, man, surprised he hasn't signed a restraining order. I'm not that creepy, but I feel like those numbers are scary. I'm like, I don't want to know that I listen to you that much more than everybody else. Like,
however, if he comes back to New England, we will see you there.
Oh my gosh, it's a date.
Just, you know, whatever.
Just, you know.
Another question we got was from a listener who asked, have you heard of the Christopher DeNoyer case? Which I had not, but I did look it up.
I haven't, and I did not get a chance to look it up.
Which is very interesting. It is about a young, I think he was a teen, who went missing.
Ooh.
And sent a fax, or like sent a letter to his mom to be like, I ran away. See you when I make it big in the NFL.
Okay.
And they were like, no, he didn't want to do professional football. That sounds really weird. Long story short, like 15 years later,
what?
His body was found, but I'm not going to say anything in case we cover it. So that, I don't know if you were like, have you heard of this? Like, you should cover it. I see you if you did.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Very good job. I'm intrigued.
So naturally, now I need to add it to the list to cover. We have so many cases, so many case recommendations. So thank you so much for sending those. We love them.
Also.
And if we haven't gotten to yours yet, I'm sorry.
But that being said, we are so excited to get to them all. If you did want like an NFL adjacent case, you should check out our coverage of the Brian Banks exoneration.
You should definitely check that out. The ending, kind of funny.
Pretty funny. Kind of smelly.
A little stanky, but I also wanted to shout this out because we have this incredible listener who I think has been with us since like the very beginning.
Literal beginning.
When Abby and I were talking about how she saw that in a very old photo of me, I had my flannel nighttime sheets.
Yeah.
As if I had like daytime sheets. That didn't make sense at all. But
bougie bitch.
I had flannel sheets on my bed. And she was like, shut up. I had those sheets. So then we were talking about flannel sheets. And anyway, our very dear listener sent us a photo of
her
flannel sheets. And I just said, are we alone? Like, is there only three of us? How many of you had flannel sheets as a kid? I just need to know. And then the very last question that we will cover today
Is what's your go-to drink?
Yes, your go-to drink, which for me is, it's got to be frozen. It's got to be a strawberry daiquiri, and I want like a whole can of whipped cream on it because I am, 8 years old.
Yes, it's very cute. Sometimes Allie and I will go out and she'll make me get whipped cream just so she can take my whipped cream.
All right, you say it like I made that. What really was is Allie.
Even you do it. What the fuck?
What really happens is that Abby just gets it with whipped cream and then she's like, you can have it. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So you only have to ask once
and then I just do it.
And now every time I get whipped cream and I am better for it, frankly.
It's true. And so are we. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's just, it's who I am.
To your core, and I love it.
I am what I am.
That's yeah, you it. Are. Yeah, and mine, don't get me wrong, I love something fruity and frozen, but if I'm like out somewhere and I don't know what they have, it's an amaretto sour every time.
Every time
she every gets single that. Time. I love it. They're so good. Highly recommend.
Funny story. Abby and I went to a bar once. And she got an amaretto sour, and the bartender the waitress had no idea what she was.
Oh
ordering.
Yes!
So Abby had to try to describe it to her, and then when she brought it back, but she had her finger in the drink.
Oh my gosh!
She put it down on the table, and Abby's like, "Well,
that was an added ingredient I didn't ask for." Yes. But
so it's just a fun fact.
I thought you were going to talk about the time that I lied to a waitress about doing mushrooms.
No, that was weird.
That was so funny. I have a fascination. It's like a crunchy granola, like, ooh, mushrooms are the recyclers of the planet. How cool. Very interested.
Like, just that they're a cool, fun guy. They're a fun guy.
They are a fun guy. They're fascinating. I personally know myself, can't really handle any drugs, but specifically anything that's psychedelic. Like, I don't want to know what this shit would come up with in my brain. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. So I'm not into it, but I think I had like a mushroom shirt on or something. And the lady came up and she was like, oh my God, you like doing mushrooms? And I don't know. Maybe I'm a compulsive liar. Maybe I am anxious. Maybe I'm just a people pleaser. But I was like, Yeah, no, for sure. Really? Yeah. Don't put them in my food, please, God. Like,
and she was like, oh yeah, I do shrooms all the time.
I know. And I was like, girl, I'm live and let live. I'm so glad for you. Also, I'm so, like, I'm lying to your face. Like, I could not, though. I could not be like, no.
It's like, Abby is, like, the with a microscope kind of mushroom person.
I'm so fascinated. How do they work? How do they just do that? And then they grow in little circles, and they have, like, little poofs of things. It's so wild. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you want to get high, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
And Abby's like, see you in chemistry.
C&P. And I just ran out of there.
She did. She ran down the stairs. She fell twice.
Yeah, right on my face. Over your 3-foot body.
It's okay. True. True story. So with that, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
This was, I think, a much needed like reprieve-like episode to just chat through it, roundtable it. Because next week we are jumping right back into like the worst of the worst in terms of like hard to hear. So I feel like we all needed this.
A little holiday for our holiday.
Yes.
And we'll get back into it next week with the hard shit. All I know is that I'm going to cry. And that's all I know.
Yes. Abby has been told that she's going to cry. I've had some tears throughout the research process. It has been a lot. I'm at like 11 pages of research and still going. So I think that we are just going to have to breathe and we're going to get through it together, but it's still important to talk about.
Oh yeah.
But I think that this was a very nice, like,
a nice breather, episode. A little recap of what's been going on. And hey, seriously, once again, absolutely no hate, no tea, no shade, no judgment, none of that. Just people who care over here. We're concerned for everybody out there and we want to make sure you guys are getting adequate care for your mental health. So
that we do. And yes,
check it out. Maybe look at some of those resources. You can check out our Instagram. You can email us your thoughts. I would beg you to email us your thoughts. I'm so fascinated on your take. Have you watched any of the other documentaries? Like, what's been your experience with all this? But you could do all of that and find all those links down below in our link tree or in that linked sources and resources spot. But if I do look at my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Pass. the cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes.
Is that an original? Is that going to be on Spotify?
That's from Bob's Burgers.
What are you talking about?
What's your Thanksgiving song?
Oh, no.
The cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great.
Len.
Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Oh, God.
Everyone's thanking.
Len.
The whole world's thanking you.
Stop.
Thanking
Len.
Us for thanking
Stop.
You.
Len.
Kill the turkey.
Please.
I liked it.
Thank you.